already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped in the KC. How it is growing up as a young G.
We're back another week here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. We got a show for you to blow your ears. For those that are listening to the Tony Sands Show, it's going to be exciting. Why I say that it will be exciting? Because, hey, we bringing on some exciting high school guests. Plus, we're going to get into some exciting sports topic. One of the main topics that's going around today that's been killing the sports world, that is Johnny Manziel. The NCAA just came down with the results of its investigation for Johnny Manziel. Also, guess who? Tim Tebow last another cut for the New England Patriots. Tim Tebow. Rex Ryan, don't know which way he want to take an interview. Front, back, side, what? Because his situation has gotten even a little more stickier toward the end of a game. Stay tuned as we give you that. Also, like I said, the guests that we're bringing on wide receiver, one of the top wide receivers in the country, George Rushing from Cardinal Gibbons. He'll be coming on the show around right about 8:10. We're bringing on Madre London, one of the top running backs in the country from St. Thomas. He's going to tell you about the big game that they have coming up this week. Trayvon Lee, we're going to bring him on at about 8:12. These guys going to flow right behind each other because what they got to tell us is so exciting. George Rushing, out of those three, probably the only guy that has committed to a Division I school, and he's committed to Louisville. We're going to see if that's still strong in his mind, and we're going to see where Madre's going. We're going to break him down, not his top five. Him and Trayvon, we're going to tell them to give us their top three. We're going to tell them to give us their top three because when you break it down to the top three, it makes the puzzle a lot clearer. It makes that puzzle a lot clearer for those that are wondering where these young men are going here in the country. It is exciting. Another week of exciting football. Also, another note from the Cypress Bay game. I want to get your opinion on this. We're going to get your opinion on what happened with Coach Mark Guardiola in the situation. Was it justifiable? Was it not? Was it in the game? Was it what goes on in sports? Or was it over aggressive? Listen, stay tuned as we get into that topic. I don't want to tell you what it is, and I know you know what it is. So I want your feedback on this topic. Stay tuned. Tune here. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to dig deep into our sports topics here on the Tony Sands Show.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause Sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking for an appointment. Call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress.
Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport. Just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you gotta get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now. Sensational parties and more by Clandra Sands, where they decorate for your occasion. Whether it's for weddings, baby showers, anniversaries, graduations, homecoming, cherries, proms, and more, give them a call. They have it all. She caters to all Tri-County areas, Palm Beach County, Broward, and Dade County. Also, ask about affordable party packages. She has one to fit your party budget. Call and mention this ad and receive $50 off your service. That's right, $50 off your services. Presented to you by Sensational Parties and More by Clandra Sands. Call at 954-708-0581. That's 954-708-0581. Call now.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show, and we're back with another exciting show. As I told you before we went to break, we're talking about Cypress Bay. Cypress Bay was in a game this past weekend. It was a game that was national televised on national television. It kicked off the high school weekend. It kicked off one of the most exciting weekends when it comes to high school football in the country, and it's centered here on the state of Florida. It's centered on the state of Florida. What I mean by that, you know, it was an exciting game from start to finish. They played American Heritage. Game got out of hand. And why I say that, game got out of hand. American Heritage was handling Cypress Bay offense. Quarterback throws interception, comes off to the side. Coach Guandola getting ready to talk to him, telling him, hey, you got to get your head in the game. And he made a mistake and slapped him across the helmet, which was played out on national television. Played out clearly on national television, which started then being played all over the local airwaves. People talking about it on sports talk radio. Was it too excessive? Was it not? Come back Monday, superintendent of Broward County Schools, Mr. Rumsey, wrote in a statement that he is suspending Coach Guandola for a short amount of time. He's going to suspend him for a couple of games. I think it's two games that he will miss. And some people said, hey, that was, you know, over excessive of what a coach should do. Some people said it wasn't. The family even said, hey, it's part of football. We don't hold this against Coach Guandola. We love Coach Guandola. And our son, you know, and the rest of the kids want Coach Guandola on the sideline. So it did it justify the means of what took place when it come to being aggressive with your players? And that's the one key question, the one key component that so many people are asking, because they thought it would be a longer suspension, but it come to find out, they thought after speaking with the family, it was what needed to be given down. But without further ado, let's bring my main man who joins me each and every week here on the Tony Sands Show, Mr. Bibbs. B, what's going on, man? What's happening?
What's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear, man. I hear you loud and clear. What's going on with you?
Oh, man, not too much, man. I'm blessed, man. Out here in Houston for the week, just checking out the center and trying to check out some of these high school games that's going on down here in the greater south of Texas, you know.
I'm gonna tell you, I don't know if you was watching, you know, the national televised game between that they did here in South Florida. They did a doubleheader. Cypress Bay played American Heritage, and the coach got so aggressive because the quarterback threw an interception and he wound up smacking the kid across the helmet, and it was caught on national television, and ESPN repeated it and played it over and over again till it was played locally here. Over and over again, and all of a sudden it became, you know, brought to the attention of our superintendent here, Mr. Rumsey, here in Broward County, Florida, and they suspended the coach for a couple of games. Did you get a chance to see that being played out?
What No, I actually didn't get a chance to see that particular game, and I hadn't even heard anything about the incident. The only game that I got to check out from Florida was the Booker T. Washington game, and it was a drumming. So I kind of ended up, I think I turned that game off at halftime.
And I'm going to tell you something. When I say Booker T is doing due to what we mean by the number one rated team in the nation, they are kicking butt. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be strange because as we talked about Booker T, certain, you know, writers have Booker T rated number four in the nation. Certain writers have him number one in the nation. They have also, you got to remember now, St. Thomas is in this area. They have Miami Central, who's in this area. They have Miami Central at rated number one. But I'm going to tell you, from what I saw at Booker T, man, I saw a team that wanted to make a statement.
That's exactly what they did. They came out and made a statement like, we are the best team in the nation. And somebody, until somebody proves different, there's nothing else y'all can say.
And let me tell you something now. Now, you know, University School played also. They played this weekend. And I'm going to tell you something. In order for them to go to the state championship, they got to go through Booker T.
Right.
Booker T would travel. Now, you got to figure Booker T is traveling to Las Vegas, and then they got to play Miami Central, who's right now also one of the number one ranked teams in the nation. And, you know, they played Norcross. I'm going to tell you something in that game. And it boils me down to, do these writers know what they're doing when it comes to saying that this team is ranked this high and that team is ranked that high? From a standpoint, are they really truly able to see all the high schools in the country? Because if I'm looking at Norcross and I'm saying this is a heck of a, you know, a team that's ranked, you know, that high, and all of a sudden I see a team like Booker T comes in and manhandles them, it makes me think, the writer that's writing and saying that, you know, this school should be ranked this high, but they screwed up. As a matter of fact, they got Norcross ranked number 12 in the nation. And you got to remember this also. Lorenzo Carter, who played in that game, went up against an unknown starting tackle for Booker T. Did you get a chance to see that matchup?
Yeah, and I actually got a chance. They actually highlighted the matchup on ESPN. And, I mean, he really didn't do much, but, you know, his individual battle, as far as the team is concerned, he didn't do much for his team, but the defensive end, right?
At all. You know what was so exciting about the game? He wound up moving to the other side. When he moved to the side,
right,
I've never seen this done. The tackle moved to the same side.
Right. And that's what they highlighted, you know, and they talked about him and his, like they said, the individual matchup, but he lost that individual matchup. That tackle from Booker T. Washington just manhandled. I mean, I wouldn't say he manhandled him. He did his job.
Hey,
protected his quarterback.
And I know this is a high school guy, but you said it right. Manhandle him. That was man. And you got to think of the tackle had no offers. This tackle had no offers at all. And this kid here, Lorenzo, is one of the top defensive ends in the country.
Right.
Hands down.
I can guarantee that tackle gonna get some look. He opened some eyes from that pass game. So he should be getting a couple of offers soon.
You got it. But now I'm going to tell you something. Give me some of the big games that's going on in the Texas area.
Well, like I said, I came down to Houston this weekend to check out the Dallas Skyline versus Houston Woodland. This is a game that they've played each other the past 2 years, one time in the playoffs, and last year they played in a regular season game. And Dallas Skyline has came out victorious in both games, actually coming from behind in the fourth quarter in both games to go ahead and win those ball games. Both teams are, like I said, very well respected in the state of Texas. Houston Woodland, they've always been respected out here in the Houston area. And, of course, you know about Dallas Skyline. They've been ranked in the nation for the last couple of years. I think the Woodlands might actually get them this year. Skyline's not really heavy on offense. They graduated a lot of their players on the offensive side of the ball. They do have a couple of seniors coming. I mean, a couple of defensive players coming back. I think they return seven defensive players on defense. But the Woodlands, like I said, they lost two games in a row to these kids out of Dallas. And the Houston-Dallas is a rivalry. And I don't think they too satisfied with, you know, taking these L's to the teams from up north. So
correct.
That's going to be a real big one right there.
And like you said, that's the key. Are they ready for that kind of power that's going to be displayed on them? But, I mean, you know, St. Thomas also here locally, St. Thomas, one of the top-ranked schools in the country also. I think they're ranked in the top 10. They will go against a powerhouse school here, Northwestern, who's won several state championships and at one time won the national championship here in the country. They will square off Saturday at the Dolphins Stadium. And they're going to match up, and it's going to be an even matchup. Why I say this is going to be a great matchup because of the simple fact is that St. Thomas is from Dade County, Broward County. Northwestern is from Dade County. And it is a matchup of what we consider the 954 and the 305, two county rivals. Two counties, two serious kind of county rivals that people have been waiting to see this game for centuries because, it's, you know, they normally are two powerhouses in the state, but they never meet up. But now they're getting a chance to meet up here this Saturday. And so I'm quite sure that stadium is going to be packed, man. It's going to be. First of all, I live in the 954 area code. Not only that, I went to St. Thomas, so I got to pull for my alma mater. I had pulled in this game.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I definitely got to pull for your alma mater. But, yeah, I've always heard about Northwestern. Actually, they came down. What's the name? Northwestern.
Yeah, they came down to Dallas.
They came to Dallas some years back, and they beat South Lake Carroll, the number one team in Texas that year. So I know a little bit about Northwest. I know they have a great program over there. And I know you always talk about St. Thomas, of course we know about them.
Yeah.
But that's gonna be a good one. I actually wish I could get an opportunity to see that game. Or is it gonna be nationally televised?
It'll be televised locally here. It'll be televised locally.
Sounds like a big one. I'm surprised it's not gonna be a nationally televised game.
Yeah, it is a big game here in the state of Florida to be televised. I think on South Florida Sports here in the state of Florida. But then, you know, St. Thomas leave there, and on 9/13, they travel to Louisiana to play John Curtis, who was another powerhouse team out of the Louisiana area. And that game there will be on national television. But I'm gonna tell you, BB, while we at it, we have one of the top rated receivers in the country. From Cardinal Givens High School, joining the Tony Sands Show. Trayvon, what's happening, man?
Hey, nothing much. Thanks for having me.
What's going on with you?
Yeah, nothing much. Just practicing every day and getting better every day. The whole team's looking good, so we're looking forward to starting the season on Friday.
Okay, now who you guys open up with? Let my listeners know who you guys open up with.
We open up with Western High.
Okay, Western High. And tell me this. Now, you guys have, to me, three of the top receivers in the state of Florida, if not in the country, when it comes to a receiving core. You have yourself, you have George Rushing, and you have Blake. How do a quarterback split the ball between all three of you guys?
Well, you know, we don't have certain players or anything. Like he distributes the ball like equally throughout the game to all three of us. So we don't argue for the ball and stuff. So, you know, He distributes the ball equally most of the time. Like, there's no problem with him doing that. So, yeah.
Now, you say he equally distributes the ball out. Because I know one thing about you guys as receivers, you guys are divas. And you guys thrive off the ball. So how do you explain evenly distribute the ball? I mean, if one guy's covered, he goes to the other two, or he's just making his job during the course of that game to get the ball to all three of you guys?
Yeah, he's doing his job getting all three of us the ball. You know, all three of us are good. We're mostly open all, like, every play, so it's easier for him to give each of us the ball without worrying about anything.
Now, Listen, now you heard the cock. Now, B, you heard the cockiness come out in him, right?
Yeah, I had to laugh it out. He said, we're open every place.
So you're telling me right off the bat that, hey, listen, we get our job done. We get the job done. Don't worry about that. The job is going to get done, and we're going to make sure. Now, let me tell you something. I know you got a host of offers. Let's get to it. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Give me your top three of where you would like
top
to be at.
Top three?
Yeah.
I'd say, like, top three offers, like, or interest, like, schools I'm interested in. I'm sorry.
Schools that you're interested in.
I'd say, I don't have a top three. I have, like, a top four, if I could say that.
Well, now, wait a minute. Hold on. Why are you going to say a top four? You're trying to squeeze somebody in there. You're trying to squeeze somebody in there. That means two teams to me are equal if you're trying to squeeze it in. What's the team you're trying to squeeze in?
They're not teams I'm trying to squeeze in. They're schools that I'm interested in. The four would have to be California, Stanford, Duke, and Vanderbilt.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. You said B, you heard those schools?
Yeah, I heard.
All those schools stands for academics.
Academics,
crazy. When you say Stanford, so you're willing to travel from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast to enjoy a quality, top-notch academic program as well as an athletic program, correct?
Yes, I'll do anything it takes to get a good education. So,
and that's what I like to hear. He's at a top-notch private school here in Broward County, Florida. But I'm going to tell you, man, how do you see your game playing out against Western? Give me a quick snippet on that, and then we're going to go, because we got another guest that we're bringing here to the Tony Sands Show. We're bringing Marjorie London from St. Thomas, and he's going to talk a little bit about their upcoming game against Miami Northwestern. But give me an insight on how you see this game playing out this Friday night.
Well, Western. Western's a good team. We don't underestimate anybody, so we're ready to go out there and, like, show them what we have. Like, I wouldn't say I'm worried about the game. Like, I have a good feeling that we're gonna win, but they're a good team, so I'm not underestimating them. So I'm looking forward to the game on Friday.
So you're giving them their respect, but you're saying in a small bit, hey, we need to go out here and handle business. Pretty much.
Yes, I give every team that we play respect like that. So.
But we're handling business, point blank, period, off the bat. That's what you're saying.
Of course, every game, every Friday.
Hey, guys, hey, that's Trayvon Lee joining the Tony Sands Show. Hey, Trey, you continue to practice hard, man. You continue to work hard. You continue to go. Hey, and I like that piece that you gave me with your quote, man, here. Thank you for joining the show. On the Tony Sands Show, we bring you each and every week. Hey, B, let's get back to it, man. We're talking to St. Thomas, man. We're waiting on Madre London. They're trying to contact him. Man, so give me your intake on some top players in the state of Texas.
Well, one of the kids I've just seen out of, Dallas Skyline, was that a defensive back? What was this? It's Cedric Collins. He played defensive back for Skyline last season. He was pretty dynamic, and I say the kid is locked down corner. He's actually committed to Texas A&M right now, and I'm not sure if he might decommit. We know how that goes with, you know, with recruiting or whatever, but he's a pretty solid corner. I'm looking forward to getting to check him out tomorrow. That's one of the guys that I've been researching this past week, you know, looking up a few players that I'm going to actually get to see when I go out to the game on Saturday. And like I said, this kid right here, not very big kid, but when I say fast, he's fast. And has very good technique at the cornerback, because it's a technique that you don't really see at the high school level.
Correct.
You kind of get to that when you get to college. But whoever's coaching him, I can guarantee you he's very well coached. He listens to what he's been taught, and he's a good player. And like I said, I'm looking forward to checking him out on Saturday. Hopefully he has a good game, because what is coming? I can guarantee they're coming.
Hey, as you said, Texas, Florida, California. When you talk about football, you must recognize those states as states to be reckoned with. States to be reckoned. But without further ado, I told you he was coming. He got a big game coming up for himself this weekend. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, Madre London of St. Thomas Aquinas High School. What's up, Madre? What's going on?
Nothing much. Thanks for having me.
Madre, you're joining here with myself, as well as my co-host, Mr. Bibbs out of Texas. He gives me all the inside scoop on when it comes to sports in Texas. He handles it all. So tell me, okay, now what kind of season you plan to have or what you're looking to have this year?
I'm planning to have a good season, you know, win all our games, take one game at a time, and at the end of that time, Promised Land, the state championship.
Now, you say you're planning, I'm going to tell you something. When my kids tell me, I ask them, I say, how you at school? They say, good. I say, okay, the word you use, good, wasn't good enough because it didn't explain anything to me. Good mean I could run for one more yard than I ran last year, and it's a good season. So give me a little bit more in depth of what you mean by good.
You talking about individual stats, Coach?
Individual stats at this point.
My individual stats, I'm looking forward to have in the mid-thousands or 2,000. And just 20-plus yards.
You said 2,000? So that means you trying to break my record. Man, you trying to go after my record over there at St. Thomas, man. What's going on?
What's your record, Tony?
Man, I'm the leading rusher in St. Thomas history.
What's the yardage? What yardage
does he have? Well, career-wise, he got to go over 4,000. As far as single season, he got to hit at least 17 to 8. I think I'm at, like, might be around at 17, 58. You know, in my day, Coach Smith wouldn't let you run the ball that many times. He pulled me out. You know, after I done got 200, if it's in the third quarter, I was being taken out of the game. And I was a diva at the running back position, and I was pissed off. But I would go to the sideline like a team player. Now, Marjorie, you guys got a big game coming up this weekend.
No doubt.
What has practice been like for you guys this week?
Practice has been really just focused. We all focused. We know what we got to do. We've been watching film, you know, been getting the looks that Northwestern give us. You know, we've just been focused, just ready to get after it.
Now, what is Coach telling you? What is Coach Rocco telling you guys that's so important about this week here that he hasn't told you in prior games?
He tell us, you know, we got to stay focused, you know, leave all the negative because, you know, people going to end up talking since it's one of the biggest games in the state. People end up talking trash. So he's telling us to stay focused, stay away from Twitter and all that, and just get ready for the game.
And I'm going to tell you, for the simple reason that, now, you know, this is a battle of the 954 and the 305. This is a game that people have been waiting to see for years, especially since St. Thomas and Northwestern both has risen to the echelons of football here in the state of Florida. So you know that game is going to be packed. What are some of the guys saying that you see in the neighborhood? Are they saying anything to you?
Really, they're just telling us they're going to come to the game. You know, hopefully we win. They say we need to put on for Broward County and just get the job done.
Because, you know, that's a battle of County Line Road is what we call. County Line Road separates Dade and Broward County. It separates the two. Yeah, County Line Road separates the two of the, you know, the two counties. And it's going to be important. Whoever takes this game takes it to the level of when it comes to, you know, being a champion. So now, Madre, and as I had Trayvon on earlier, give me your top four schools. Trayvon, I told him to give me three. He said he couldn't. He can give me five, four. Give me your top four schools that you're looking to possibly visit when the visitation time for St. Thomas starts.
Michigan State, Nebraska, Illinois, and Wisconsin.
Which one do you say would be, if you had to list them in order, what would be your top all the way down to your number five?
I say Michigan State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Virginia, and Illinois.
Okay, all right.
He must like cold weather because every school he named is up north. And it's cold up there. And for him coming from Florida, you don't see too many Florida guys going up north to play football. They like to stay in that sun.
Hold on now. Now, he's originally not from Florida. He's via Little Rock, Arkansas.
It's hot there, too.
He's from Little Rock, Arkansas. So, and he came to South Florida. And give me 30 seconds. Give me 30 seconds, Marjorie. What brought you to the state of Florida? With the listeners listening, want to know why.
What brought me to the state of Florida?
Yes.
Oh, without a doubt, it's just a better atmosphere as far as football type. You know, it's a lot of athletes here, and that's, you know, have the best competition day in and day out. And just get a better exposure as far as college-wise, too.
And that you have done. That you have done with the offers that you have. Marjorie, man, hey, good luck. And I'm not going to tell you, look, good luck. Go handle business is what I'm going to tell you. You go handle your business. Thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show. You tell Coach Scott I said keep you guys working, get you guys flying around, because this is a big game. Because, you know, I won't be here. I'll be up in Orlando. But I want to be able to call back here and hear that you guys have handled business, that you have rushed for over 175 yards, 2 touchdowns. So you go and handle your business. I'm going to say it for you. St. Thomas, go and kick Northwestern butt. You ain't saying it. I'm saying it. Thank you for joining the show. We're going to play a track on this day. This speech was given here in the United States of America.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today.
We're back here joined on the Tony Sands Show. My main man, Bibbs, is joining me. B, did you hear that?
Yes, definitely. I heard it.
I'm going to tell you something. That was one of the – and I say it all the time. That is the greatest speech I have ever heard someone give.
I agree. I definitely agree.
Can a speech like I don't think it could be duplicated.
It definitely can't be duplicated. It gives me goosebumps every time I hear it.
I mean, because he one thing about, and I, you know, I listen to that speech a lot, and he always emphasized, so many people relate the civil rights movement to a black issue, but it's not a black issue. He brought in black and white, because he said in order for whites to be free, blacks had to be free in order to call this a free nation. In order for America to get where it needs to go, it must become a nation that bigotry and all that must be out the window. But let's get a little bit deeper also into the show. Let's get into your state. Our main man, Johnny Manziel, has hit the airways again. What's going on with Texas A&M, man? Give me your opinion on the Johnny Manziel case. Did the NCAA get it right? Did they get it wrong?
I don't know if they got it right or if they got it wrong. There really is no definitive answer to that question. I mean, he's been suspended for the half, the first half of the upcoming game against Rice this Saturday. I mean, what is he getting suspended for is what is my question to the NCAA or to Texas A&M. I mean, if you're going to suspend somebody a half, I really don't see the justification in that if you're going to suspend somebody at all. I guess he's suspended because he didn't prevent the people from whoever he was signing those autographs for. He didn't prevent them from, I guess, selling them or doing whatever it is that they wanted to do with them. They couldn't prove that he received any money for signing those autographs. So I guess that's the reason why he hasn't been suspended for, I guess, a significant amount of games. But like I said, this is one of those head scratchers. I really don't understand it. I mean, if he was found innocent or he was never guilty from the beginning, then why was he suspended at all?
And see, that's what I come up with, B. If you found him not guilty and you said what he said was true because he denied taking money. And folks, those that want to chime in on this topic, you can call us here at 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471 here on the Tony Sands Show to chime in on this topic or any other topic. Now, if they said they did not, he was found. He stated that he did not receive money for signing his autograph, but you have him suspended for a half of a quarter? I mean, a half of a game? I'm trying to figure out what happened. Did NCAA find out, hey, well, we're taking a hit on this. We're taking a hit on this. But now it takes me back also to people like Dez Bryant.
Right.
You suspend this guy for a whole season, pretty much. A whole season. But you only suspend Johnny Manziel for half of a game. Did he tell the truth or didn't he? Did he lie or did he tell the truth? Which one is it? Which one is it? Did they take the pressure when Johnny Manziel parents said if they don't like what takes place, they're willing to sue the NCAA and they have the funds. Normally, in this case, the NCAA don't deal with people that don't have enough of the funds.
Right. And in this case, they're dealing with a totally different monster. They're dealing with a family they're dealing with a family that has the means and, you know, the networks to do what it is they have to do for their family and for their son, you know, and correct. They feel like their son was done wrong by the NCAA. They were willing to fight. I haven't seen a case like this ever in with the NCAA and a student athlete. Normally, the NCAA wins hands down, but in this case, correct. I really felt they took a black eye. Like they got punched. They got punched in the mouth, and there was nothing else they could really do about it. Like honestly, I think Johnny Manziel just came up with the blueprint of how to beat the NCAA. You know,
but now, you say he come up with a blueprint, but now how many of the minority athletes that come across this situation are able to challenge him to the forefront to where you can say, hey, we're willing to spend money to take you to court? I think that's what the NCAA knows, and they're saying to us, okay, well, this won't be a precedent because of the simple fact a lot of the minority athletes' parents don't have the funds for this. But now it makes lawyers say, hey, you know what? I'll take that case pro bono because I want to beat them suckers myself.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the first thing I thought. Well, maybe, a lot of kids don't have the funds or their parents don't have the funds to fight like Johnny Manziel's parents did. But just like, you know, kids are paid to go to school or they have people that's giving them money while they're in school and they're supposed to pay them back when they get to the NFL or to the pros, I kind of see lawyers or attorneys doing the same thing. Well, we'll take this case right now, especially if the guy is a good athlete and he has the potential to possibly make it to the NFL. I'll take the case right now and we'll fight it. And when you get to the NFL and you get your money, you're going to pay me back. That's what I see happening down the line.
And I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm here in South Florida, so you know a lot of people here in South Florida was waiting on the outcome of this case. And you know why?
Miami, because right?
University of Miami has been waiting 3 years now.
Right.
And don't know when their case is going to close, but yet you meet with Johnny Manziel for 6 hours, and all of a sudden you tell him and his parents and Texas A&M, we're going to give you your verdict in 24 hours. And when you look at UM case, you say, okay, does it take that long to do an investigation, especially an investigation that the NCAA themselves has botched up? Because,
right.
You got to figure the NCAA was paying his lawyer, paying his phone bill. So now, why does that put me as a person trusting in the NCAA? Do I really trust in you guys when you guys were getting information illegally? Plus now, here goes Johnny Manziel, a guy that, you know, may or may not have received money, but you suspend him for a half of a game. Is there a two-sided monster here being created? I think the NCAA don't really know what side of the ball that they're falling on, for the simple fact is that this thing has gotten out of hand. They've received bad PR in this case, and I think it has exploded to where now several people are going to exploit the NCAA. They're going to come out there more now, and I think it's going to a point to where they can't even manage discipline. They're going to have to outsource discipline, because I think they have lost control of that. But now, guess what? Tim Tebow has last another cut now.
Tim Tebow.
He last another cut.
And Robert Kraft said he hopes that Tim Tebow makes the team.
So now, when the owner comes out and say, I hope this guy makes the team, does that put the pressure on the coach to, hey, we might have to carry a third quarterback for a team that's not normally used to carrying a third quarterback? They may carry a third quarterback in this situation. I'm going to tell you, I see him making this team. I see him getting a roster spot with the Patriots.
I agree. I agree, too, especially with the owner coming out like he did this past week, saying that he hopes that Tim Tebow makes the team. And, you know, and even if Tim Tebow doesn't make the team specifically to play, I think it's more of a character standpoint, more of a team camaraderie type thing. He's from what everybody says, he's a great person. And what team or what owner wouldn't want to have a player or individual like that on their team, you know? So I think that's more of a reason why he'll make the team, more so as opposed to him as his quarterbacking or his play at the quarterback position. I don't think he'll make it because they're not planning on him playing that position.
Right, but when I'm looking at the day in this game, in the day and age of this game, I'm always saying to myself is that I'm looking at Terrell Pryor. Matt Flynn, I'm going to tell you something.
I'm a huge fan of Terrell Pryor. I always have been.
Matt Flynn can't get a break.
He can't get a break.
You go to Seattle, and they draft a young Wilson.
Right.
He comes in, and he beats you out. You go to Oakland, where Oakland pays you this good amount of money, and you say to yourself, okay, I got a shot here, because he's not worrying so much about Terrell Pryor, because he thinks he has in the bag, and all of a sudden you have a bad game. Terrell Pryor comes in late in the game and lights it up.
Lights it up.
Now, you are sitting on the outside, and I think if he loses this battle here, I think Matt Flynn's days in the NFL are just what they are. They're numbered.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I would say he has to restructure that deal, and he probably will be a backup quarterback, which he's been for his entire career. I think he'll be just that, a backup quarterback. But like I said, I've always been a Terrell Pryor fan. And my question to you is, you think it's because, you know, the quarterback position is evolving now into that athletic quarterback that has that dual threat. He can throw the ball, he can run the ball. You know, Terrell Pryor is that, and Russell Wilson was that. Matt Flynn is not that.
No,
and that's
not
a negative to him. That's a negative to his game right now with the NFL quarterback position evolving into what it is becoming. He's not that quarterback. And the drop back is slowly but surely starting to fade away.
And then with the type of line that the Oakland Raiders have, their line is not that good. So that line doesn't fit in that situation because the line is not that good. So with the line not being that good, he's not a mobile guy, and it puts him in vulnerable situations. You take our guy, he's mobile, he can move around, he can make things happen when the line may break down. Terrell Pryor can move around and make things happen with his legs, can extend the play. And I think that's where he gets an advantage in this game. Not only that, but he can throw the deep ball.
He has a cannon on top of them shoulders.
And I'm going to tell you something. That's why I feel in that case, he could possibly start week one for the Oakland Raiders. He could start week one for the Oakland Raiders. So that brought it to my mind. But I'm telling you, when we talk about quarterbacks, look at the Buffalo Bills situation.
Woo! It's a little rough up there at Buffalo right now. They starting another rookie, as they were supposed to. Starting another rookie for the season opener. Tool?
Yeah, Tool. Tool is starting.
Never seen him play in my life. I don't even know. I can't even tell you what school he played at.
Washington State. He played at Washington State. His record at Washington State was 4-22. 4-22.
4-year starter?
4-year starter. 4-22. And now, you've been the game week one. You're playing starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. Mike Leach was his head coach now. Okay. Mike Leach was his head coach. And Leach is saying that, hey, he can get it done. He can get it done.
Yeah, you have to look at Washington State. Now, I don't think that 4-22 record was all him because Washington State has been pitiful.
Right, and I'm going to tell you something, you know, because one of the athletes I trained, as a matter of fact, he's a quarterback at Carter Gibbons. He's heading up to Washington State. He committed to Washington State, so it's going to be exciting. But, you know, they compare, Mike Leach compare Tool to Matt Leiner. When it comes to, you know, he believed that he had more upside. Well, I would say he has more upside than Matt Leiner and Thad Lewis. And you look at those, you're saying to yourself, hey, wow. My main man is joining the show. VC, what's going on, man?
Everything is good, Tony. I've been enjoying the show. How you great brothers doing today?
Man, you got to let me know, baby. Let's get to Denver now. How do you guys allow another quarterback to be put up on your stadium?
It's a big talk out of Denver right now. The people are really upset right now. You know, that's more of something that the NFL did, Tony, to be honest with you, in terms of a marketing standpoint to promote the game. Joe Flacco, Super Bowl champion, going against Peyton Manning. I don't like it. The fans don't like it. The city of Denver does not like it. But right now, I think that it'll just add more adrenaline and more juice to an already exciting football game that has a lot of anticipation involved.
But listen, man, who agreed to that? If you know anything, tell me. Who agreed to that, though? And I seen it because it got Peyton Manning and it got him. Both of them up on this big billboard at the stadium. Do you think Jerry Jones would allow that?
No.
You think Jerry Jones would allow Michael Vick to be put up on the stadium?
Man, well, you know what? I take that back. Cause you know, Jerry Jones is money hungry. He's a businessman. If he has something to do with some
money, he's
money
hungry. But there's certain things I know Jerry, and I know Jerry personally. There's certain things that Jerry won't sell the brand of the Dallas Cowboys for now. That I know.
Right. Definitely. Now you're right. You're definitely right about that.
He won't sell the brand of the Dallas Cowboys for anything. You better be bringing some serious, serious money, and I don't think that's bringing the Denver Broncos any money. To me,
I, I'll tell you one thing. They better win the game. That's the most important thing. They can't have Joe Flacco's billboard on the side of the building with Peyton Manning and have lost that playoff game in the manner that they lost it last year, and then for Baltimore to come back to Denver and win the game this year. Totally unacceptable. The Broncos totally have to win this game.
Second year for Peyton Manning. What you guys expecting out of him? What you guys are seeing that to where he's more advanced this year than he was last year?
Oh, a lot healthier, Tony. I mean, the man is talking about he's been able to work extensively with the Broncos training facility. He's been able to lift more weights. His arm feels stronger. Expecting big things out of him with Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, and Wes Welker as his wide receiving core. So sky's the limit for Peyton Manning for this season.
Okay. Hey, we ain't got that long. Tell me this. Tell me this. What's your thought on the Manziel situation?
I think it's a terrible situation. I think Johnny Manziel, I was listening to you guys. I agree with you guys 100%. I think Johnny Manziel got a slap on the wrist. I think he broke the rules and regulations. But as you mentioned before, he comes from a wealthy background, and I think the young man found the way, a loophole, to be able to manipulate the NCAA. It's a terrible situation, and it just shows that the NCAA is a corrupt business.
And that's what I tell people. I say, the NCAA, I always consider them as people that's up high, that's looking down low. They've never been down low, so they don't understand what it takes to be down low because they sit so high that there's so much space between them and the lower people that they really don't even care. And in this situation, you had a guy that was the Heisman Trophy candidate, the Heisman Trophy winner, and now you're the NCAA. The image of you going after a Heisman Trophy candidate, I'm quite sure people call, hey, you can't do this. He is the face of college football. And not only that, his parents coming out blatantly and saying, if we don't like the way this comes out, we're going to sue. And I think that shook up the water. Not only that, you got to understand the University of Miami, as I told you, with that debacle, with the way the NCAA boshed up that, man, I think it puts a lot of pressure on the NCAA that they got to get it right. But I feel for those guys like Dez Bryant. I feel for those type of guys. Because Dez got, to me, it got a raw deal by the NCAA, but it showed me Dez, his parents didn't have the funds to stand up against the NCAA. So guess what? I got to take what you guys give me because you're the big bad wolf.
What about the young man you mentioned before, Tony? You guys were talking about Terrell Pryor before. He's a prime example of the rule also. I mean, the young man sold his jersey because he didn't have proper funds to go to school, and he got kicked out of school and lost his collegiate eligibility.
How does the – now, that's what I'm saying. I'm the type of guy. I don't want to bring in the race card or anything like that. But, guys, especially on this day here, well, one of the greatest speeches we ever given when it comes to a man that I've heard with my own ears. Well, not my own ears, but hearing through speeches given on this day. It kind of disturbs me, and I still say it to this day. It disturbs me a lot when it comes to it. But, guys, Denver Broncos playing last thing. B, you give me your insight on Denver Broncos are playing Von Miller. Is it good or bad for the Denver Broncos?
I think it's a good thing. Von Miller is going to be sitting down for 6 games, Tony, so he's got to get some form of, work in right now. If you watch the preseason, and fans out there have been watching Von Miller in this preseason, he's looked very lackluster, very out of order. So I think it's good that they're playing him in the preseason for the next game.
Hey, Pete. It was a pleasure having you on, man. My bad, we got to get to you earlier because your insight is what we looking for here on the Tony Sands Show. Hey, man, listen, I got to close because I'm closing with a great ending speech. We finna close with soundbite number 76. Man, listen to this. That's why I'm closing early. Listen to this, and we're closing out. Folks, let's throw out bigotry and stay free here in America.
Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the crevaceous slopes of California. But not only that, Let freedom ring.
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gonna ball, yeah, I'm gonna be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.